This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and I am delighted to be joined all the way from the States without her children in the room, Christina Romero. Christina, welcome to the show.
Yes, it's a small victory, no child in the room. Thanks, Pete. I'm very excited to be on your podcast.
It's a pleasure to have you. And we've spoken a couple of times. We've been mixing in similar circles. I think that's probably the best way.
It's true. It always amazes me about these circles is how you can know someone who knows someone. And yet it was only recently that we actually connected. I'm like, how is that possible?
Well, we have Mr. Kyle Van Dusen to thank for that. So let's give him a shout out right at the top of the show. Kyle, thank you. You dropped us in a Facebook Messenger group together and then scarpered like a kid that's done something wrong.
It's so true. I was like, oh, I didn't know you could leave a group. He was like, I'm out, and leaved our message group. But yeah, we connected and have been able to do some business things together and partnerships and stuff. So it's really neat to kind of jump on the podcast here and talk with you about some things.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So thank you for finding the time to do that, because I know we have been playing kind of like booking link table tennis. Like, no, you use my link. No, I'll use your link to book in. No, you use my link. Okay, fine. Anyway, we sorted all that out. So it's a real pleasure to have you. So before we sort of dive into the stuff we're going to talk about, do you want to introduce yourself to the boys and girls at home who are listening and may not know who you are?
Okay, great. My name is Christina Romero. I am the owner and founder of WP Care Market, which is a web professional training program for web pros to learn how to create recurring revenue in their agencies or if they're a freelancer in their business. And we also take a lot of those agencies and we pair them with website owners looking for web pros in our directory. So it's a really nice ecosystem of everything relationship. We like to bring people together and encourage good quality client relationships, whether that's through training or connecting people. Myself, I ran an agency for 11 years and just recently sold my agency last summer. Yeah, it was really big deal. I kind of felt a big monumental achievement with that. So if anyone knows me from that, Care Media and Designs was my agency. And before all that, some people might know me from WP Elevation. I was a coach over there for a couple years and did some courses and some coaching and training over there. But now I have my own program with WP Care Market. So that's where some people may have seen me. I've spoken at some WordCamps and I help run the recurring revenue retreat in Orlando every year, which sadly we had to postpone for COVID times.
Yep.
So some people know me from that as well. So I'm out and about, kind of find me in different places.
Well, you know, it's good to have your finger in a number of pies, shall we say.
I've just always been that way. So there's no changing me now.
So we are going to talk a bit about the whole sort of mentality of securing recurring revenue in your business and kind of the ideals behind that. But I mean, if we go, I don't want to spend loads of time talking about this because I'm sure you get asked about it quite a lot. But if we go way back, you were actually an actress, weren't you? You sort of had a former life and now your current life. So do you want to just talk a little bit about the sort of transition there, or, you know,
yes,
as I say, just as much as you wish to share?
You know, it's interesting whenever people talk about how long they've been in business, I actually have to go back to, you know, 16, 17 years old, because that's when I started professionally working. So it's been that long, and I kind of stumbled into it. I went, we were auditioning in our local area, and then I drive up to New York, or I wouldn't drive, my mom would drive, or we'd ride the train. And I auditioned for a soap opera in New York City called As the World Turns on CBS. I was 17 when I got that. It was a 3-year contract. I was living on my own in New York City, waking up at 5 a.m. every day, taking a car to the studio, memorizing 40 pages of scripts, coming back at like 7 p.m. at night, ordering takeout, memorizing my script for the next day. And this was all really early on in my life. So while everyone was in college, going to frat parties, getting drunk or whatever, I was working a full job, paying bills, paying rent. So I look back on that time as a really good way to form formulate my business mindset. I had a very strong work ethic from the very beginning. I learned a lot very young, and I got started very young. So the one thing that was great about that time in my life, and I did a few more things. I did a couple movies, another soap opera, moved out to California, did all that over there. Yeah, it was a great career. I mean, it really felt to me complete by the time I would say I kind of left around somewhere between 25 and around 25 years old, I left. So I really felt like I had a full career, a beginning, middle, and end. I was completely satisfied, but I left because I really wanted to start my own business where I was making all the decisions. And one thing that a lot of people don't maybe realize about the entertainment industry is that you really are at the mercy of a lot of decision makers to decide when you work and when you don't work. And this concept behind websites and building websites for people, I had a deliverable. Someone would need something. I would make it for them and they'd pay me. It was a fantastic concept that I could just do this without anybody else's input. And I really love the creativity of websites too. It felt kind of like storytelling, kind of like acting and screenwriting. It was a form of storytelling. And it took off really quickly, I think, because I already knew at 25, 26, I already knew how to speak with people. I already knew how to command a room. I already knew how to convince someone of something persuasively. I was fully pretending. I was fully acting like I knew what I was doing. And then I'd get the job and then I'd spend hours teaching myself how to even do what I just promised. So it was a good transition at the time, and I didn't look back. I mean, it took off, and I think by the time I was 5 years into it, I was already making what I was making on the soap opera. And to me, I was like, all right, we've arrived. That's success. So.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well, thanks for packaging that up. Cause it was one of those things that, you know, you feel like you sort of, you want to mention, because it's such an interesting, you know, we all have lives before we ran agencies. We all got lives on top of running agencies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I looked at your website and there's a picture of you there on a red carpet, I thought, oh, I've got to mention that.
That's the thing. I look back and I didn't realize it at the time how unique it was. I mean, I knew it was hard. People were trying to get roles and, you know, only 1% would ever be a working actor, but I got nominated for daytime Emmy Awards when I was on the show. Wow. And I look back now and I'm like, that's not typical. I need to always remember to mention that in my resumes or my bios or whatever. And I often don't, because it does feel completely like a separate life that I've now, built something else now for the last 11, 12 years.
So moving into your more present life, shall we say, that first agency and learning to do those websites, and it's always refreshing to hear somebody that has been like you say a WP Elevation coach or somebody that's sold an agency or whatever it is, to know that they started exactly the same as everybody else by over promising and then figuring out how to do it, probably getting paid far less than you should have done for the end product and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm presuming, and it might be wrong of me, you can put me straight, that there was a serious learning curve over those early years of your agency where you were in that feast famine of project cycle type business.
Yeah, 100%. That's nothing drives that home more than when I got pregnant with my first son and I wanted to give myself a maternity leave. And, you know, I just was not earning any revenue. You know, don't take projects. No one else is working for you. You take a maternity leave means you don't get paid anything. And then you come back. And so, yeah, very evident very early on that, okay, this is a lot of work. Now, at the time, I was coming from nothing in terms of knowing nothing. So I didn't mind. I mean, to me, doing a website for $500 and building that in a week or two, I would go on auditions for months and not get anything. So to me, it wasn't a lot of time for the money I was getting from it, because I was like, man, I mean, I would put so much hours and time into something and then you get a small commercial and you get a few thousand dollars from it. And here I was consistently making projects and then at the end of the month have a few thousand dollars from it. So it wasn't that much of a disappointment for me. I felt like it was a lot of money, and I continually valued what I did once I got confident in it. So by the time I was pregnant with my second, I have four kids, by the way, if anyone's listening, and my whole journey can be marked by the birth of my children.
Yeah, we're going to go through every pregnancy in detail in the next 25 minutes. No, I'm kidding.
No, that would be terrible. We would not want to subject anyone to that. But yeah, by that time I said, okay, this is getting incredibly stressful, really, really challenging. I can't keep this up, because I would have a babysitter come to the house, and now I had two, and it was getting to be absolutely feast or famine. And it was that year that she was turning one that I first discovered website care plans and the concept behind recurring revenue, and that I actually should be going back to these people whose websites I built and offering them a recurring service monthly that would cushion my revenue every month, so that I could take a deep breath and not feel like I'm, you know, at the mercy of an email in order to meet my bottom line for the month. So that was, yeah, that was 2013. That was a big year for me. I ended that year with, I think it was like five or six of my clients on this new concept of a website care plan. Mm-hmm. And it was a big highlight. I remember we were in, my husband had been really, really, really lucky and got a work trip to Hawaii. So nice. I remember, yeah, it was really great. We, you know, we had two kids on, you know, three and one, you know, so we were like ready for a vacation, dropped him off at the mother-in-law's, went out to Hawaii. And I just remember sitting out by the pool, looking at the five care plans or six care plans, whatever was the time, come in. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just made money. And I'm sitting by a pool in Hawaii. It's like the thing they advertise on ads and Facebook, you know. It was like a big moment for me. And I was like, okay, boom, this is it. This is changing my life. I'm going to do everything I can to focus on growing this and completely changing my business. And that's what I did.
Perfect. You make it sound so easy.
Yeah.
And then you went home from Hawaii, and that was it, right?
Okay. Oh, that was the sad part of the story. Yeah.
Yeah, you had to get back on the plane and go and meet your children again.
Oh, I love my kids.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yes. I said entirely in jest. So now, I mean, from there, you know, it's great to have that small amount of income. I say small amount of income, I don't know what you're charging for your care plans, but based in comparison to your project revenue for four or five clients, five or six clients, whatever it was. Then take that as to sort of step that up a gear and take that as a serious part of your income. Of course, there's an economy of scale with all of this stuff. So what were kind of the next steps? Where did you go next? I mean, did you just go out and try and find care plan clients and think, hey, this is great, let's turbocharge it? Or was it more about trying to bolt it onto projects? You were still selling websites, but with a care plan attached. How did you then sort of go about it, next steps?
I think the biggest change for me was a mindset shift. So I started out thinking, I needed the client to come to me for a brand new website, because that was the only way I was going to make money, you know, charge them at that time, you know, maybe it was like $5,000 for a website. And that was the way I was going to make money. And then the care plan was kind of like just gravy on top. Well, I had this mindset shift after that. And I said, oh, I could take on someone who needs a menu change for like $100 and put them on a care plan. And then eventually work up to a rebrand and a redesign and all that different stuff. So I sort of shifted a little bit to the type of clients I would take on. And I started to open myself up where I may have been like pushing people away or saying their budget wasn't big enough or whatever. I started to nurture a lot of leads differently. Mm-hmm. And I started to look at my business as I want as many clients on my roster that I enjoy working with, that I like, that fit into my ideal client avatar. I need as many of those as possible. And then we'll go from there. We'll nurture that list and we'll find, you know, the right optimized products for them, recurring services, and then redesigns and extra time over their care plan and all that different stuff. And that took a little while to figure out, but I did start with a mindset shift of actually taking on people whose website I didn't build. So that was a big leap. And once I opened up that way, people could refer people to me. because before they were just thinking, I'll just refer her someone who needs a brand new website. But I started having discussions differently and people started referring people to me who already had a website. So it was that really helped grow the revenue side of things. That was key. So having that mindset shift of not thinking so outward, but thinking a little bit more inward, you take on a few more people you may not have. And I could screen out some people I didn't want to work with and build up a good client list over time.
That's a key point to get to. I think, you know, when we all start out accepting every job or every client that comes our way, because what you really see is the money. And I suppose that's really what you're talking about 5-6 minutes ago. You know, when you were starting your agency, you take any job because you need the money. And then, but when your agency does pass a critical mass, which it seems to be a point which is slightly easier to determine when you're talking about recurring revenue through care plans or whatever it might be. Once you pass that critical mass of actually not needing to rely on each individual client's fee, essentially, every month, then you can become a bit more picky and choosy about who you want. You can refine that avatar a bit more. You can spend, mm-hmm. you can focus your marketing in, because you're not, I'm trying to avoid using the word desperate, but I can't think of another one. You've moved away from that and you're now in a position of power.
Right. And you can't do that until you feel like you know how much you're worth, how much you should be paid, what your expenses are, if you have a team, what the team expenses are. And then you're right. You free yourself up a little bit more to take a deep breath and go, okay, well, this money's coming in and we've got a good system going. This person who is texting me all the time does not need to be my client. And it's a wonderful day when you get to fire them and say you don't want to work with them anymore, because we build our businesses so we don't have to work for the bad boss. And we can be the bad boss to ourselves if we keep the clients that are the pain in the ass, right? We're a bad boss and we can't fire ourselves or fire our boss selves. So, you know, we have to recognize you've made great sacrifices to start your own business. You need to get to the position where you feel comfortable in knowing what your revenue is so that you can weed out those clients and work with the people you want to work with. And sometimes you just don't know until you're working with them and you do have to say goodbye.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true. And I released a podcast episode a few episodes ago about how we sell retained services. We didn't call them care plans so much, but we've put in place kind of a gated system. So we don't actually go and actively sell any retainers. We go and we have a client avatar, but then we sell sort of at least two individual projects before we'd even offer a retainer. So we've worked with a client twice mm-hmm. before we right. have that sort of pressure of delivering every month. I realize that's maybe slightly different from care plans.
No, it's the same thing. So I'm actually in the process of writing a book, and I started off when I first thought about it, I said, you know, I don't want it to be about care plans, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. And as I got into it, I realized, no, it's way more than care plans. And the concept being that you want to have a core product that bridges your relationship with your client. So it's that baseline, it's that core product, it's that thing that, you know, brings people in to the relationship with you. And you can have an onboarding experience for that, and it can be some sort of evaluation or some sort of project or whatever it is to get them to that core product. Mm-hmm. You can call it I call it a care product, because it brings back the idea that this is a relationship between, you know, they're investing in you and you're investing in them. And then you can take that core product and you can optimize it with lots of other different recurring revenue products. And so I kind of dug into this more and more and realized this is more than just even a website thing. This can happen with any recurring revenue structure that you need that first product. I call it a website care plan when we're in an agency and we're dealing with website maintenance and support and things like that. But it can be anything. It can be anything that acts as that gateway between you and the client. You need to have it. If you're in business, it's the only way you can predict your revenue in your own business. You have to have some sort of recurring core product at the heart of what you do.
Cool. And I know through WP Care Market, you offer a whole load of training and resources and stuff. I can't think of a better word other than stuff.
Lots of stuff.
You do stuff. but you produce a lot of content. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Around about, you know, how to structure that, what those services may be. They can differ from agency to agency. They ultimately need to reflect who you are as the person. I love that point you made about you being a bad boss. That's where you then get to be personal, because it's your business and you can do what you want to do and you do it your way because you're you.
Yes. And I got so frustrated with, I think a lot of people feel frustrated when they get taught like the theory of what they should do and why they should do what they do. And I was just fed up with it. I said, I'm going to show you exactly how I do what I do. And that's what created the training in the first place. I said, this is exactly how I do this process. It's how I hired this person. This is how I sold this thing. This is how I wrote the proposal for this thing. Everything was like, take it, copy and paste it, run with it, and then personalize it to what your business is. And that kind of kicked off a lot of what I built with WP Care Market. Because to me, sometimes, people don't take action because they're constantly told too much information, and not enough of exactly what they should do. A lot of people just want to be told what to do. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And once they implement it, then they find out where they should shift it for themselves and their business and their clients and whatever. But just getting that first implementation is sometimes the hardest thing. So I was done. I wanted to do training that helped people actually implement and get started and not that whole, because it was like an 80-20 rule, like 20% of people would actually implement and like 80% would, watch the training and not do anything. And I was like, let's get rid of that. Let's have everybody implement and have it change their business. And then, the more I've worked with agencies, the more it's become a little bit bigger than that of just, web agencies, website care plans, more about recurring revenue and defining, something that really works, whether you're, like you said, a marketer and you sell SEO plans, or you are a funnel builder and you help people with, on-page marketing techniques, or even if you're I have a client who I'm actually coaching and he helps people with car dealership service repairs, and helping him formulate how to create a good recurring revenue core product to help them. So the same concepts, and they help make your business resilient, especially in this time of when we're talking and recording this podcast in COVID times. You need your business to be resilient through anything.
Yeah. And I think this time you've raised a good point there. This time has been a very good litmus test as to how resilient some businesses have been. Unfortunately that's meant for massive high street names that, hundreds or thousands of people have lost their jobs, yet little plucky agencies with one, two or three people working in them have managed to ride the storm. And it's almost like there's a shakedown process in society that happens maybe once every 10 or 15 years. There was a recession in 2007. That was there was in the UK anyway. That was kind of the last one that we experienced. And it really does. Having that resilience is so important, but you need to, it's too late to think about it if you waited for coronavirus to happen to then think, oh yeah, I should really get some care plan clients.
Well, and you don't know what will happen next. So it's never too late. I mean, it is never too late to kind of go back and look at your processes, look at your products, look at your team. If you don't have a team, maybe getting a team to kind of get you to the point of where your business is something you enjoy doing and not something that is this tremendous stressful burden that's going to lead you to burnout, because we've seen enough of those in our industry. And that's the goal. We built this for a reason. We wanted the freedom. So we need to go back to the drawing board if we're not feeling it.
So what's the plan with the book then? You've mentioned it. I do have a bit of a inkling because we had a bit of a pre-chat before the show, but what's the plan for it? When's it due out? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. How can people be kept in touch with that? Fill us in a little bit about that. What brought you to write a book in the first place?
Well, it's funny enough, I got my master's in writing. I wanted to be a screenwriter, and that's when I started making websites was during my master's program. And I realized websites make you a lot more money than being a writer. And anyone who's tried being a writer knows exactly what I'm talking about.
That was some good master's program you went on.
I know, right? So anyway, I've loved writing. I've written a lot of guest blog posts for GoDaddy Pro program, for WP Elevation, for my own stuff. And, when I came up with the training, I, for the longest time, felt it's missing a framework. And I think it wasn't until I went to prepare my agency to sell that the framework just leaped off of the page at me. And I realized what I had been doing for the last 4 or 5 years without even realizing it. And I came up with this core agency framework, CORE, about building up the core of your agency and what each of those letters in the acronym stood for. And the idea of, you know, even in working out, you know, none of it is worth it unless your abs are in your core is strong to support the rest of your body. It kind of goes with that as well. Mm-hmm. So I have a page on our website, wpcaremarket.com/what-is-core. So what is core? And I kind of go over the framework in that and tease the book a bit. I'm going to be putting, probably by the time this podcast goes out, I'll have an opt-in there for people to get a sample chapter and to be alerted when the book comes out. So WP Care Market, what is core? And that should get anyone who's interested in it. But the main concept behind the book is that we need to take relationships, revenue-bearing relationships with our clients and our customers, and we actually need to turn that into recurring revenue at the core of our business. So it's flipping the concept of lead gen, marketing, looking external, you know, hitting the pavement and going door to door to door to door to get your revenue, and rather flipping it on its head and saying, no, you actually need to turn inward. You need to look at what you've already built. You need to look at what is currently in your client list, and you need to reframe your mindset to look at that as your core revenue and tweak your products, tweak your processes so you have the right products at the center of your business for recurring revenue and they're profitable. Because most of the time what happens is people build these products, but they're doing all the wrong things and they're not profitable. So then they go and scale and they're just getting more people in their pipeline and still getting even less profit because they're just doing all the wrong things. So it's about looking at that, making sure you are optimizing correctly, you've got the right processes and how to do that. That's what the book is about. So that's what motivated me. It was really selling my web agency and seeing that there was this framework and everything we had done in WP Care Market was really on top of this core framework. And I'm really excited about it because I don't think anyone's having that conversation right now. And I didn't want to write a book if someone was already having that conversation. So I feel like I might be the lone voice for a while and we'll see if I can clarify my thoughts a little bit more and get this out by the end of the year.
Cool. I was just going to, you've just taken the next question out of my mouth because you've been sort of mentioning the books or talking us through the philosophy of the book and then you hadn't mentioned the timescale. So I was going to be like, when?
I know. I feel like if I do give myself a release date, maybe it'll motivate me to work a little harder, but it's coming along really smoothly. We're entering the fall here in the US. So I think maybe end of the year is a good date for that release.
Cool. That's great. Well, you know, obviously you've mentioned your website, wpcaremarket.com, and also the What is Core page. I'll make sure that both of those links are hooked up in the show notes. So if anybody wants to visit them, the intro and outro will say where the show notes are. So go and look at that. Christina, it's been a delight to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. This was a very fun, easy conversation. I hope, I hope we weren't boring anyone on there. What do we call their morning commute or during COVID times? It's their walk, you know. Now I walk to podcasts. So it was fun. I enjoyed it. And thank you so much for inviting me on.
No, it's been a delight. So, I mean, other than your website, just one last thing, I suppose. If anybody wants to connect with you, where's the best place that they could look?
So if you are a web professional and you work in the web space, whether it's in design and development, SEO, marketing, whatever you do, we have a Facebook group, WP Care Market, web professionals, Facebook group. I just got such a great group in there. It's really supportive. Anyone can ask any questions and we have our students in there. We don't split up our students from our regular Facebook group, because we want it to be as value as possible. So cool. If you go to wpcaremarket.com, there is a join our network page and that will get you to the Facebook group. If you can't find it by simply searching for it. And please answer all the questions, and I'll be happy to let you in and you can tag me in posts and I respond. And I'm probably in Facebook too much, but we'll work on that.
Hey, that's part of, to be honest, I think with the way the world has been in 2020, finding connections with people using Facebook is something that nobody can really.
Yeah. And if someone's like anti-Facebook, I am an open book, and you can always email me hello@wpcaremarket.com.
There you go. I won't put that in the show notes just so that it doesn't get crawled by a bot and you can start getting
awesome. So it's only for the lucky few that got to the end of the podcast.
Your cell number? No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
My credit card number is.
Christina, it really has been a delight. I'd love to have you back on. You know, let us keep us informed about the launch of your book as well. And you know, I'm sure we're going to keep in touch anyway. So
absolutely,
it's been a blast. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pete. And I will connect soon. And thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. Speak soon.